Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
Happy Easter, everybody, from all the Carters, from Michelle and everybody who's here. It is a strange Easter Sunday, perhaps the strangest any of us will ever know. But God is still in charge. The church is still going forward. His kingdom going forward. God still wants to bless you. He wants to speak to you today. And I'm believing that as you've been listening to service, if God hasn't already spoken to you, that he will speak to you in these next few minutes. I want to really encourage you to get your notebooks out, get your pens out, you can take some notes. It will really help your concentration. And also it will give you opportunity for when God does speak to you, when God does show you something, that you can just write it down, box it, circle it, whatever it is. And then after we've finished, you can go away and think about it and pray about it. And God can really, you know, actually help you become the person that he wants you to bless you, to take your life and your family's life forward. But it is unusual, but we're fine. I just wanted to let everybody know that we're fine. We're all good. The whole family's great. A little bit of cabin fever, for sure. Apart from that's great. We are also in the middle of lambing time, which is a cool time of year to be on the farm. And so I have a puzzle for you. I thought we'd begin with a puzzle. This is the puzzle. And the answers, if you could send them in by email to general@valleychurch.eu, and the best one will get a prize. So this is the puzzle. I got a phone call from my sister this morning who was doing the rounds with the sheep saying, we've got one of these stock. It's lambing, but we can't get the lambs out. Can you come and help? So I got put my stuff on, went outside and had a look at this ewe who was trying to lamb. And this is what I found. You ready to write this down? I found four legs, one head, and one tail. Four legs, one head, and one tail. This is the puzzle. How do you best lamb a ewe with that problem? How do you best lamb a ewe with that problem? Please have fun. I'm really looking forward to your answers. And like I said, the best one, I will give you a prize. I'll send it by post. Four legs, one head, one lamb. How do we do the best? The other thing I need to reassure you, because I know some of you are worried, and the question is, Pastor Ed, do you have your Easter chocolate? I know for some of you that's a massive concern, and I just want to let you know that we have chocolate. Michelle went shopping on Tuesday, and she bought lots of chocolate for the kids, and she also bought this for us. So I just want to reassure you that we're fine, we have chocolate. Though she bought this for us, and husbands, you know that's code for something, yeah? But we have chocolate, so all is good. Anyway, Easter Day, and I've had some fun, but you know, Easter Day is the most important day of the Christian calendar. For those of you who know me, know how much I love Christmas, but actually this is even more significant than Christmas, because this is when the work of salvation, the work of restoration, the work of healing, the work of eternity was done. This was the moment, Friday, Sunday, when Jesus' death and resurrection, when God's salvation plan for saving us, to restore that relationship, and also restoring eternal life to us happened, and it's massively. And so I want to, with your notebooks and pens, I want to put at the top of your page, To Infinity and Beyond. That's the title of my message, To Infinity and Beyond. And yes, I have stolen that from a cartoon character, in case you're wondering. But let's pray as we begin. Father, we thank you so much that whatever is going on in life, this is no surprise to you. Father, we thank you that you are still in control. You are still king. Father, your work and your will is still going forward. Nothing is too hard for you in this season, like all seasons. Father, thank you that we can rest assured in you as we follow you, as we give our lives to you. Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would speak to us, open up our hearts and our minds. And Father, I pray for every single person who's listening to this voice of mine, Father, that they would hear your voice in it, and Father, that you'd instruct them and help them to walk into their future, the future that you have for them, a blessed future. And Father, I pray for any who are listening to this who've maybe listened on purpose or stumbled across it, but they don't know you yet, or they've known you but drifted far away and then coming back to you. God, speak to them in particular, we pray this morning. May they know that they're loved, that they're important. There's a God in heaven who hasn't forgotten them, but loves them enough and longs to have a relationship with them. And Father, we pray this morning that they may reconnect with you. And Father, they maybe for the first time or for the first time in a long time say, God, I want to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So Easter Sunday, it's the kind of the pivotal event in the Christian calendar. You know, the Bible begins, yes, I know it begins in Genesis 1, but it begins with the creation of mankind. And then quickly followed by that is a story of mankind's falling, his decision that he knew better than God. And if you remember way back there in Genesis chapter 2, God places Adam and then Eve into a garden, a perfect garden where there's no sin, there's no shame, there's no worry about death or war or illness. Everything is perfect. And this is what it says about this garden. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 says this. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life was God's gift of eternal life. And then it says this in verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in that garden I've just described, Garden of Eden, to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat it, you will surely die. And you know, we don't know how soon afterwards, but fairly soon afterwards, Eve and Adam, they chose, actually, they thought they knew better than God. And this idea of knowing good and evil was a good thing, they thought. And so they took of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, and they learned that evil does exist, and it's pretty horrible. And we, ever since, have lived in a world where good and evil have existed. Though, in the beginning, there was only good. And one of the punishments was that Adam and Eve were removed from the tree of life, from eternal life. And it says this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. I wanted to put that in to know that God still cared for his creation, and he cares for you, whether or not you know him yet. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat, and then live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And he drove the man out, and he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way for the tree of life. And for me, this is an incredibly sad story. And man was created to last forever. That was God's intention. That was part of the image of God that he gave a man. But in this story, we understand that part of the image of God was lost, that man was now destined to die. But you know, all of us have this feeling inside that death is wrong, and it is wrong. Because you know, we as people were never, ever designed to die. We were designed to live forever, as God lives forever. I have no idea how the tree of life worked. In fact, some scholars aren't sure if it was a tree of life or it's just a picture of eternity. And you can take it either way, I don't mind. I kind of like the idea that it's a tree of life that we will one day see again. And the rest of the Bible, as some of you know, many of you know, is really the story of God's fixing that problem. How he interacted with man, and all sorts of, only some of the stories of God interacting with man, and the unfolding of a plan. And in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the plan, you know, being worked out, and we can read about Jesus's life and his death and his resurrection. And then predictions of things that are going to happen in the future. And then to once again, one day in the future, you know, the tree of life will be restored and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And in Revelation 22, it talks about this tree of life again. about the fact that one day we'll actually have access to it. And I just wanted to read you the story again, because I just want each one of us to know that eternity God has placed in our hearts. And it's not placed there so that we can never achieve it. It's placed there so that one day, if we want to, we can actually can live forever, because God is going to restore the tree of life to every single person that wants to follow him. And it says this in Revelation 22, verse 1. The new heaven and new earth have already arrived. New Jerusalem, the city of God's arrived, as it says. Then the angel assured me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life. The tree of life is mentioned again. This tree that we can take and eat and live forever. On each side of the river stood the tree, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. There will be not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. They will reign forever. They will live for infinity and then beyond infinity. Hence my title. But as I was preparing this, I was thinking about the tree of life and about Easter. I really felt like God was saying, I need to share the five stages, the five distinct stages that are in this salvation plan. And really ask of all of us two questions on each of these stages. Really questions to do with actions and attitudes. These are the two questions. I'd love you to write these two questions down in your notes. Question number one is this. Do you fully understand this stage? So for each stage, the question is, do you fully understand what this stage means? And I actually believe for so many of us, if you go away and you think about each stage, that there's certain things that we don't really understand. And if we don't really understand these different stages, actually we're kind of missing out on how to live the life that God really wants us, which means we're missing out on some of his power and authority and some of his gifts and some of his blessing that he wants to give us. And I want to encourage you to ask this question for every stage. Do I fully understand this stage? And the second question is this. Am I living in the reality of that stage? So once I understand it, am I actually outworking that in my actions and my thoughts and the culture I'm in? Am I actually living it out? Because you see, it's really easy to know some stuff. It's actually much harder to do it. You know, I know being thin and healthy is the way to go, but it's actually much harder to live out. It's the same in our Christian life in various ways. And we need to then identify the areas that maybe we're not living it out properly, ask God for help, ask others for help, and then walk into it. I'm believing for each one of us, and I include myself in this, that we will end this short message and go, you know, there's some things for me to think about and some things for me to act on that I may walk into the complete freedom, blessing that God has for our life. So are you ready? Notebooks out. I'm going to try and take about 10 minutes doing this. I think it'll be super, super fast. Stage number one is this. You know, Jesus had to die. The penalty of our rebellion, the death that was necessary, that had to be paid, because God is just and God's word is true. And so God said it and it was just, and therefore it needs to happen. You know, the Genesis 2:15 to 17 passage that I read out, you know, if you eat of the tree of good and evil, you will have to die, actually had to happen. Paul sums it up in Romans 3:23, that the wages of sin was death. The results of us deciding we knew better was death, because it is. And this death needs paying for by someone. But it needs paying for by somebody who didn't need to pay for it himself. You know, I couldn't die on your behalf, because I need to die myself, so I can't pay. It needed to be somebody who was perfect. And Hebrews 9:22 talks about the fact that there had to be a shedding of blood for forgiveness from God to be given, for the price to be paid. And there's only one person who was perfect, and that is God himself. And so he came in the form of his son to live a life and to die on that Good Friday, which we celebrated on Friday. that we may be forgiven. And Romans 5, verse 18 says what happened on that day. Romans 5, verse 18 says this. Says this, consequently, just as a result of one man's trespass, that's Adam, there was condemnation for all men. So also, as a result of one act of righteousness, that's Jesus' death, was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, his name is Jesus, the many will be made righteous. Jesus had to die. And this is a question. Do you truly understand what that means? That another man, another person was willing. He loved you enough. He cared for you enough. He wanted a relationship with you enough to die on your behalf. That's truly staggering. And, you know, I will think on, as I'm listening to myself, I will think, you know, wow, that's how much God loves me. And then the question is, this is the question. Jesus paid his, have you accepted that payment for yourself? Have you accepted that payment for yourself? Romans 3, verse 23 says this. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by Jesus' grace, through God's grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement that through faith in his blood, and he did this to demonstrate his justice because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so that as to be just, the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. And this is what it's saying, you know, God had to be just, so Jesus had to die. But if you would have faith in Jesus, then his death would count as righteousness for you so that you can have a relationship with God, so you can have your sins forgiven. And the question is, have you accepted what Jesus has done on the cross for you? Have you understood that you need forgiving? Do you understand that Jesus paid the price? Are you truly sorry that the fact that you have gone your own way and caused Jesus to have to die for you? The Bible talks about repentance. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of direction. Have you come to a place in life where you've changed your mind and decided that God actually knows better than you do? It's actually much harder than it seems, much harder than it sounds. It's also much easier than it seems and much easier than it sounds. It's hard to change direction. And God will help you that if you'll take the first step, which is just to turn around and say, God, I know I need you. I know I need to follow you. Have you accepted what God has done by faith through Jesus on the cross? The second stage is this. Jesus had to come back to life. He had to be resurrected, which is what we celebrate today, which is amazing. Because he had to prove that death had been utterly defeated. And that we are free. We're free from the consequences of death and of sin. We're free no longer to be worried about condemnation or about not need to be afflicted by guilt, because we're set free because Jesus paid the price completely. And he had to rise there to show to everybody that eternity is our future and there's nothing too powerful, that there's nothing more powerful than God in this world. He had to come back to life. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 says this, death has been swallowed up in victory, the victory of Jesus' resurrection. He rose so that we can have hope, and that hope can live in every single human soul because death is defeated. Nothing is impossible for God. Do you really understand that? Have you fully accepted the implication that the power of God has utterly saved you and set you free for all eternity? I just think it's wonderful that Jesus came back to life and over 500 people saw him after he came back to life. A testimony so big and so vast that no court in any land would ever disbelieve them. Such was the beginning of the church and the witness of the first church. And I want to ask you, are you living in that freedom? Are you living free of guilt and shame, or does it still bother you? Are you a person of hope? Are you a person of expectation, believing that God can do anything in you and through you? Because he can. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, he can raise you from the dead. He can raise anything from the dead. He can do anything through you and in you. And I'd really encourage you to try and understand what that means for you. Third stage is this. Jesus had to leave. I've always, if I'm really honest, struggled a bit with this stage. Why did Jesus have to go? Why couldn't he, you know, stay for all eternity and lead the charge, as it were, to the kingdom? And we don't absolutely know, but the scripture does give us some clues. The first thing I think why Jesus had to leave is this, is that mankind still needed the freedom to choose good or evil. Still needed and it was to allow as many men as possible to choose good, to choose God, to choose his way. And throughout history, people have been choosing to follow Jesus and to find God, discover God through him. And he's the only way. He's the only way, the Bible says, to find God. Jesus says himself in John 14:1-2, he says, you know, I have gone to prepare a place for you because my Father has many rooms. And one day, he says in verse 2 of chapter 14 of John, he says, I will come and take you to be with me in my Father's house. The old versions have many mansions, and slightly older people think, you know, that's great. I'm glad God's to prepare mansions. The modern translations say many rooms. The other thing, and the other surprising thing, I want to read it to you. It's also in John 14, verse 12. It's one of those things that I think it's difficult to understand one of Jesus' statements and to really grasp what it means. But he says this, John 14, verse 12. He says this. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And this is this, he will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to his Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Do you know, I think Jesus left so that we could do greater things. I don't know how we could do greater things than Jesus, because he obviously did the greatest thing because he died for us. But there's something that we needed to do almost that he couldn't do, or was going to go beyond what he'd done. We were going to do some greater things than him, and we needed to be given the time to do that. But for whatever reason, Jesus had to leave. And this is the question I want to ask you. If you think about this and ponder this, are you doing these greater things that Jesus presumed you would do after he went? You see, I believe that every Christian, every Christ follower has the opportunity to do greater things than Jesus did. It wasn't just for the few, it was for all of us. I don't know what those greater things look like in your life, or, and I'm still figuring it out, I guess, in part what that means in my life, but I'm believing that each one of us can do greater things. Somebody once said that every Christian should live a life less ordinary. Your life is not supposed to be ordinary. Each one of us ordinary people are supposed to do extraordinary things. Have you figured out what that means to you? Or are you just sat there as a Christian thinking, you know, my life is ordinary and that's all that's going on? That's not God's intention for you. If you can figure out in the season where Jesus is away, what is these greater things that God has called me to do? Perhaps gather some friends around and ask them, get on your knees and say, God, I want to do greater things. I want to do something. Romans 8, verse 28 says that God called us and he then purposed us according to his plan. And you have an amazing purpose for the kingdom, an amazing purpose for your life. You're not an accident. And God is longing to reveal his purpose to you. And you need to know when you do that, he'll empower you. He'll give you every gift and skill you need to fulfill the greater things. Do you know what your greater things are in this season when Jesus is away? The fourth stage is this. Jesus will return. He'll return to restore order. He'll return to take authority, to bring peace, to bring in the kingdom of God. Matthew 24:36 says we have no idea when it will be, and it tells a few parables about people who don't know and are surprised when he turns up. Matthew 24:42-44 says that we should keep watch and we should be faithful in keeping the watch, ready for Jesus coming back. Matthew 24:30, and I want to read this one to you, says that everybody will know when he comes back. It'll be a surprise, but everybody will know. Matthew 24:30 says this. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky,
And all the nations of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with great power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. It'll be really obvious when Jesus comes back. And he is coming back. He is coming back. And this is my question. Are you keeping watch for him? Are you ready? If he came today, would he find you busy doing his work? Are you ready to leave if God called you? If God finished the world today, are you ready to leave? Or would you go, there's some things I'd love to have got done that I don't think I've got done? I think if we can remember Jesus coming, he's coming back, and we don't know when, there'll be a sense of urgency in our lives as we live for him, as we try to let other people know about him, as we try to build the kingdom. There'll be a sense of urgency because we don't know. We don't know when he'll be back, but he will be back. And I just want to ask you the question, if he came back, would you be kind of happy? Or would you feel like there's things undone? Not in this sense, I know some of you young people watching go, well, oh, Pastor Ed, you know, I want to get married, I want to have children. Yes, some of those things I know we won't. And that's, I'm not talking about that, because yeah, we all want to do that. And but would you be ready for him in your season of life? Would he find you doing what you know he would want you to do in this season of your life? Or are you wasting it? Are you kind of frittering it away doing other things? You know, God has called you and purposed you for a plan. Get after that. Honestly, you will never, ever regret it. Are you living for his future kingdom? Have you got an eye on him coming back, or have you not got an eye? Are you were distracted by the temporary pleasures, the temporary riches of this world? So many people are, but do you know how I started? If we're going to enter into the total freedom and the blessings of God, we need to figure these things out in every stage of God's plan of salvation. This is one of those stages. And finally and fifthly, Jesus will take us home. Jesus will take us home. John 4, verse 2 says he will come back and then he will take us to be with him in our rooms, in our mansions, whatever it is. And we'll be with him forever. It says in Revelation that I read out that his throne, his kingdom will be in the city where his servants will serve him. We will serve him and we will have access to him. Not just afar or a distance, but face to face. We will be with him, and we will live in and enjoy this new heaven and new earth. We don't know much about it. The Bible talks about we'll have new bodies which will be indestructible and unbreakable and unsickable and not ever dying, which sounds amazing. And this new heaven and new earth that we'll occupy, we have no idea what that means for us. But you know, I'm believing that we'll spend so much time with God and in his presence and the incredible feeling, but we'll get time to explore the world, the universe, this perfect universe that he will have made for us. And this is my final question. Are you living in that reality? Matthew 16, verse 19 to 21 talks about where is your treasure? You can't serve both God and money, both God and this world. You have to pick. Where are you storing up your treasure? Where moth cannot, as it eat it out, robbers cannot steal it out, and you can't wear things out there. They can't rust out. Are you storing things up in your eternal home? Or are you, as it were, just building things in this earth? Matthew 19, verse 28 to 30 talks about the fact that, well, I'll just read it to you. Matthew 19, verse 28 to 30 says this. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, particularly the disciples. But this is this, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or fields or businesses or anything else you want to add to the list, for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many will be first, will be last, and many will last, will be first. Are you giving things up now and storing up treasures in heaven for you? Or are you holding things, even things that are important and not necessarily bad, in place of Christ, in place of the kingdom,
and missing out on your eternal blessings, eternal treasures, whatever they look like in heaven. Two questions. Do you fully understand each of these five stages? Jesus' death, his resurrection, his ascension or his leaving, his return, and his taking us home. And do you live in each of those five stages today? Because I'm believing if you would, if you think about these things, I just hope and pray you've written them down, or you watch another service, or you watch it next week when it goes on our webpage. You write them down and you ponder. You see, God has an incredible future. You know, he came at Easter and he died for you, not so that you could live a mediocre life that's burdensome and hard and difficult, and there's no contentment or hope or peace in your life. He came to set you free. He came to give you peace and joy that supersedes every circumstances, even a virus called Coronavirus 19 or whatever it's called. He came to set you free from worry, to give you hope in every situation, to put eternity in your heart, to help you see that this is just a small fraction of our lives, and our true lives, our long lives, will be lived with him in eternity in a perfect world. And we can start doing that right now. And I just want to say, you know, I've experienced something of that. I know I've got so much more to experience. I've experienced something of that eternity in my heart. And it's amazing. And it gives so much hope and peace and joy. And God wants to give that to you today. And somebody very soon is going to just lead you in a prayer. If you don't know God at all, then why don't you've got a chance on this Easter Sunday? You'll be able to note it down. This is a Sunday that I decided to begin to follow Jesus. I know you don't know everything, but be assured God loves you. He loves you enough to die for you. Put his trust in you. But before I go, I just want to pray for each and every Christian who's listened to this. Because I know some of you are racked with fear and worry. You're concerned about so much. And it's squeezing you. It's restricting your life. Some of you don't have the joy of heaven in your heart. Eternity doesn't burn strong in you. You sometimes wonder if you're even a child of God, even though you've decided to follow Jesus. I want to pray for you this morning that the true freedom of the cross may enter your heart and soul. And I think this morning, I hope and pray, if you just think through those five things, go away and ask the questions. I believe God will do something significant, maybe right now, but definitely this week as you look at them. Father, I pray for every person who's heard this message. God, your son, Jesus, died and came back to life. Father, so that we may have true freedom and peace and joy, that the hope of eternity may burn in our hearts every day of our lives, that we may have contentment and hope and joy. And Father, I pray for each and every one of your children this morning, that we would open up our life, that we would dig and we would pray and we would ask questions until we've taken the steps that we may walk into the fullness of all that you have done for us. So God, I pray this Easter and these few days that come as we think about the things that I've talked about, God, that we may enter more and more into your blessing and all that you have for us. In Jesus' name. Well, church, have a great rest of the day. However, let's enjoy Bank Holiday Monday. I'm really believing God is going to bless you as you discover Easter and all its fullness in your life. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.